Why can't we see God? Why doesn't he show himself? If there is a loving creator who has a plan for our lives and for the whole universe, then where is he? And why doesn't he simply tell us in a simple, straightforward way what our purpose is? These are reasonable questions which deserve answers. And one place to begin finding an answer is with light. Because without light, we can't see anything. The Greek word for light is phos, and its plural is phota, from which we get words like phosphorus and photograph. In the Christian East, both Catholic and Orthodox, the Epiphany is often called the Feast of Lights or Phota, because from the dawn of creation, light has been seen as a manifestation of God's presence and goodness, as in, let there be light. For this reason, light is one of the three essential dimensions of the Epiphany, the others being revelation and mystery. And the season of Christmas, which begins with the feasts of Christ's birth, now reaches a new height as we ponder how God reveals the eternal mystery of salvation through the light of divine revelation. During the preface to the Eucharistic prayer for the Epiphany, priests all over the world will sing to God the Father that today you have revealed the mystery of our salvation in Christ as a light for the nations. And here we see again the three essential dimensions of this feast: light, revelation, and mystery. God's light, also called his radiance or glory, is among the most important means by which he reveals himself, unveils himself, discloses himself to the human race. Something that he began to do with creation itself and continued when he called Abraham and made with him and his descendants an eternal covenant which stands as a perpetual witness to the nations that the one true God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This we see confirmed in our first lesson by the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. And here we see that against the glory of God's light stands the darkness of sin and death. While God reveals his face in light, sin wraps itself in darkness so as not to be exposed and seen. And in the heart of every human person, a struggle goes on to allow God's grace to put to death in us whatever is contrary to his goodness and glory, so that we may live in the light of the truth. But such conversion requires of us a willingness to acknowledge that our sins are sins. And those who will not call their sins by their proper name remain to that extent dominated by sin, wrapped in the cloud of darkness, which prevents us from seeing the glory of God, even as it is revealed in Jesus Christ. Today, we read Matthew's account of the visit of the Magi, the Gentile philosophers who came to Jerusalem, guided by the light of a star, seeking to know the truth of God's holy word, revealed by the King of the Jews. But the king sought by the Magi was not Herod. And so, in fear and rage, Herod slaughtered every boy under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem. And although Herod's slaughter of the innocents was an especially loathsome example of the mystery of lawlessness, such fear and rage can fill the hearts of anyone who will not receive the light of divine revelation and accept the mystery of salvation in Jesus Christ. And accepting the mystery of salvation in Christ by the light of divine revelation requires of us the obedience of faith in his gospel. That is why St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in our second lesson that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Here, Paul means that all of non-Jewish humanity, represented today by the Magi, all of non-Jewish humanity can become co-heirs with the children of Abraham to the promise God made to fashion a people for himself, a people in whom he would restore what was lost at the beginning of the human story by the rebellion of sin and the rejection of his eternal plan for human life. And how are the Gentiles to be added to the Jews as co-heirs and co-partners in this one people, this same body? In Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, the gospel is the sum total of all that God has revealed for our salvation. And at the heart of the light of divine revelation is the third essential dimension of this feast, mystery. Mysterion is the Greek word which gives us our word mystery, but it can also be rendered as sacrament. Mysterion is the Greek version of a Hebrew word which the Jews borrowed from the Babylonians, who in turn borrowed it from the Persians. A very useful word, raz. A raz was a secret plan in the mind of the king, a plan to address a problem, a plan which would remain in the king's mind until he was ready to publish it, to make it known to the people. And so the mystery of which Paul writes is the plan which was eternally in the mind of God, but which was made known or revealed only gradually, beginning with Abraham and his children, continuing with Moses and Aaron and the prophets and David and the kings of Israel, until in the fullness of time, the mystery or plan was finally and fully revealed to the entire human race in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This plan or mystery of salvation, which was in the mind of the Father before the foundation of the world, was to restore all things in Christ and to overcome the darkness of sin and death by the light of his glory. And when the eternal Word became flesh, he revealed the eternal mystery of salvation for every time and place, and the publication of that plan or mystery is the sacrament of our salvation. A sacrament is a visible sign of an interior grace. And the sacred humanity of Jesus of Nazareth, his human body, is that sign, the sacrament, and the mystery of salvation. And that is why every event in the life of Christ is a manifestation of God's radiant glory. At his holy birth, the Lord Jesus was attended by the glory of angels. At the visit of the Magi to Bethlehem, the Gentiles were guided to the King of Kings by the light of a star. At his presentation in the temple, 40 days after his birth, the child Jesus was confessed and proclaimed to be the light of the world. By teaching the teachers in the temple when he was but a boy, the Lord Jesus revealed that he is divine wisdom made man. At his baptism in the Jordan, which we will celebrate next Sunday, the Lord Jesus became the Christ, the Anointed One, and he was accompanied by the glory cloud of light which once filled the temple. By his first miracle at the wedding feast in Cana, the Lord Jesus revealed his glory and awakened saving faith in his disciples. By the miracles of his public life, Christ gave signs of his divine nature through his mastery over all creation. And at his transfiguration on the holy mountain, the uncreated light of God, the Son, and his divine glory shone forth through his human body. Finally, on the cross, the sign of Christ's death was an eclipse of the sun. And by his resurrection from the dead, the risen Lord Jesus revealed the destruction of death, the promise of eternal life, and a share in his divine glory to all who are united to him by grace, through faith, hope, and love. So, why can't we see God? Oh, but friends, we can. We can see God. but we can see him only as he has revealed himself to us. God is not an object within our universe, and his absolute transcendence of existence as we experience it makes it impossible for us to interact with him directly in his divine glory as we do with all the things he has created. But in the fullness of time, God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. So, in Jesus Christ, the invisible God is made visible, and the God we cannot touch gives us his flesh and blood as the bread of everlasting life and the chalice of salvation. Light, revelation, and mystery. On this solemnity of the Epiphany, the church around the world rejoices in the glory of God, unveiled to the human race in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is Messiah and Savior. 40 days after his birth, the Lord Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary to the temple in Jerusalem so that, according to the law, he could be presented or consecrated to God. We will celebrate the presentation of the Lord on February 2nd, 40 days after Christmas. And on that day, we will hear St. Luke's account of this event. Simeon, a righteous and devout man in Jerusalem, had been taught by the Holy Spirit that he would live to see the arrival of the Messiah. Simeon was there in the temple that day when Mary and Joseph arrived with Christ, who is God from God and light from light. And then with great joy, Simeon recognized in the child Jesus the long-awaited desire of nations and gave thanks to God in words the church still sings every night at Compline, the final liturgical hour of the divine office. These words of Simeon are a fitting summary of the saving truth we celebrate on this Feast of Lights, the solemnity of the Theophany or Epiphany of God. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ